I've been wondering about how best to share this news with you this morning, and I hate to do it this way, but there's just really no good way to do it, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it out there. I have a terminal condition. It's called life. I didn't mean for that to be funny, but it is jarring, isn't it? There's a post-it note up here on the pulpit from somebody in the first service who said, "Don't do it." But it is a little jarring to hear that, isn't it? I mean, it's a little jarring. It's more than a little bit heavy, but you know, today's topic is pretty heavy. We're embarking on this 3-week journey, as Lee said, called Afterlife, but we're starting today with the topic of death, and there's really no good way to talk about that, but we all, it's not just me, it's everybody in this place, we all have a terminal condition, and it's called life. Every one of us is going to come to the end of this life, and we don't know when, we don't know how, but we all have this terminal condition, and we try as hard as we can. And I think our culture has developed some pretty good defenses to keep ourselves from having to think about this. We're pretty good at avoidance. As if we just avoid the topic enough, it'll just go away. But we know the reality of death won't go away, right? But still, that doesn't keep us from trying. We try to protect ourselves. We try to insulate ourselves from it. We try desperately to keep death at a distance. We pay doctors to stave it off for as long as they possibly can, and we hope that they're successful. And we even invented funeral homes to try to create some distance between us and death. You know, we haven't always had funeral homes. Some of you probably remember times when someone would die, the deceased person would stay in their own home until it was time for burial. Some of you remember this? Yes, no, maybe. Maybe it was just my grandmother, I don't know. But it was called sitting up with the dead and kind of a night watch in the home. Well, that was before Thomas McAfee, it was before Mackie Mortuary. Those times are long gone. Now, as much as we possibly can, we remove ourselves from death. We buy life insurance policies against it, right? We pay our premiums and we try to forget that death is inescapable. It's coming for every one of us. As long as we don't talk about it, we hope it, you know, just, we'd rather not think about it until, that is, we're forced to. And we're forced to in our lives when someone of our loved ones die, or we're forced to when our pastor jolts us in the beginning of a sermon. We're forced to face it from time to time, and it is a tough, tough reality. And this morning we're going to face that reality first by looking at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. "There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning, if you're not mad about the way we started. If you would, turn to somebody around you and ask them this question: are you ready? Can you do that for me? Are you ready? Of course, it's a good question to ask when you're talking about death. Are we ready for death? But maybe there's something else that we should be ready for as well. So today we start this new series called Afterlife. And the idea for this series actually came from you, or at least some of you, because a couple months back, there was a period of about 10 days where I had four or five of our members come up to me and ask me very similar questions about what happens to us when we die. And after so many inquiries in such a short period of time, I thought maybe this isn't just these questions aren't just limited to people, these four or five people. Maybe these are questions that are on the hearts and minds of a lot of people. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about what happens to us, at least best we can, what happens to us when we die. So out of those questions from our members, the idea for this series was born. But I have to be honest, this series scares me quite a bit, because there's so much mystery, so many things we don't know about this thing called death and what lies beyond death. Even within the Christian tradition, there's quite a lot of variety about what various denominations and segments within the church have taught about this ultimate mystery, because very few people have come back to tell us anything about what lies beyond death. And so while the Bible gives us some clues that we'll look at for the next couple of weeks, there really is very little that we know for sure. There's nothing in the Bible, I can tell you this, there's nothing in the Bible that just sort of spells out systematically, okay, when you die, first this will happen, and then next after that you can expect this. There's nothing like that in the Bible. We just have to kind of piece together from various places and things that Jesus says what it might be like after we take our last breath. It's not terribly clear in the Bible. There's a lot of conjecture, but there's very little certainty. There is one thing for certain, however, when we start thinking about death and what lies beyond. We will find out one day. Every one of us will find out one day what lies beyond, because no matter how healthy, no matter how wealthy, no matter how many things we have accomplished in our lives, we are all going to die. We all have this same terminal condition, and it's life. And unless Jesus comes back before it's our time, then we too will die. And that's part of the message that we hear from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I mean, the writer of Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. It's not all that pleasant to think about, but it is true. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Death is inevitable. Not too long ago, I was talking to somebody who said to me, I pray every day that we will find a cure for cancer. And I understand that. I pray for that too. In fact, I lost my dad to cancer, multiple myeloma. And so when he was sick, I prayed all the time that we'd find a cure for cancer. And I still pray for a cure for cancer. But here's the thing. Even if we come up with a cure for cancer, if we figure out how to cure myeloma and lymphoma and melanoma and carcinoma, even if we engineer an automobile with driver side airbags and passenger side airbags and side curtain airbags and rear curtain airbags, even if we find a cure for things like Alzheimer's and diabetes and any other thing, diseases you can think of, we still will never find a cure for death. It's just not within our ability. We're never going to come up with a cure for death. Death is inevitable. If there's anybody who's going to come up with a cure for death, it won't be us. Because death has got us in a death grip. And it scares us. And you know how I know death scares us? If you ask people today how they want to die, and I think I maybe even asked you this one time, but I can't remember. If you ask people how they want to die, I can just about guarantee you how most people will say they want to die. They'll say, I want to die quickly, painlessly, and in my sleep. Does that sound familiar? I want to die quickly, painlessly, and in my sleep. I think that's very different than, say, 500 years ago. Because while we want to die quickly, suddenly, painlessly, in our sleep, 500 years ago, in the Book of Common Prayer, there was placed this prayer that prayed to God for God to save the person praying from a sudden death. That's what the whole prayer is about. God, save me from a sudden death. Because while we want to die suddenly and painlessly and in our sleep, people in the Middle Ages feared dying suddenly. Now, what is it about that? Why such a big change? I think part of it is that we fear death itself. But people in the Middle Ages, 500 years ago, people didn't really fear death as much as they feared meeting a just judge without having time to prepare to get things right with God before they died. They feared judgment. We fear death itself. But despite our best efforts, despite putting the smartest people in the world on things like cancer and Alzheimer's, despite our best efforts, we still can't hide from it. Death is inevitable, and if anything is going to be done about death, it won't be by us. But thankfully, there's someone far more capable than us who has gone to work on this. Because God Almighty has done a little something about death. In fact, God has done way more than a little something about death. God has defeated death through the resurrection of Jesus. Although death is still inevitable and all of us will still pass that way, we all have this terminal condition called life, death will not have the last word. God won't let it. God has defeated death through the resurrection of Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead and gave us this foretaste of what our life beyond death is going to be like. Death will not have the last word. Life, eternity, hope, those will be the last words. But those are things we're going to focus on next week. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But today we're talking about this thing that's universal. It's the universal human condition, this terminal condition we call life. As I was working on this sermon, I got a message from one of my friends. And it was a text message. This friend was a little shaken up. And the text message said, "I'm at dinner at a restaurant, and I think a man just died. Paramedics are here now, and they're working on him, but it doesn't look like he's going to make it." And that came right in the middle of working on this sermon, and I thought, it got me thinking, not only is death inevitable, not only is it going to come forever, not only universal that we have this terminal condition called life, not only is death inevitable, but death is also unpredictable. We never know when it's going to be our time. We never know when we're going to breathe our last breath. I'm very sure that this man in the restaurant had no idea that that would be his last meal. We don't get to know those things. We don't have this advance notice. We're not promised tomorrow. In fact, here's what in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." That's not very hopeful, is it? But you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But that's true. We don't know. We never know what tomorrow's going to hold. We don't know how many days we might have left. Just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Not long ago, I was at the cemetery where my dad is buried. And I found his grave, and his tombstone reads, "Horace C. Turner, Jr., 1937-2007. That's what it says, 1937-2007. And that's hard enough to face when it's somebody you love. But then here's what was even more sobering is because on this piece of granite where that is etched, on the other side, even though she's still living, was my mother's name with her birth date. Now, there was no other date, but still, her name and her birth date. And we all have a birth date, right? We know what that is. We had no control over it. We didn't have any say whatsoever in when we were going to be born. We had no control over that. And neither do we have any control over what our death date is going to be. But what we do have control over is that dash in the middle. We get to decide how we're going to live those intervening months or years. We get to decide how that dash is going to be spent. That's the only thing we have control over, the dash. So my question this morning, as we contemplate death, and before we launch in next week into what happens beyond death and after death, my question first is, what are you doing with your dash? How's it going? Because I don't know about you, but so often I feel like, and I guess I'm guessing this is true for many of you, so often it feels like I'm dashing to live. I mean, we run around, we're overcommitted, we're hyper-scheduled, we're running from here to there at this frenetic pace, we're often stressed out. Most of us are dashing to live instead of truly living our dash and taking advantage of every day that God has blessed us with. We're dashing to live instead of living to dash. Now, I know many of you expected this sermon to be all about the question, will we have life after death? Because after all, this is the afterlife series. But before we get to that question, I wanted us to spend a little bit of time addressing, contemplating this question. Will we have life before death? How are we going to live that dash? How are you doing with your dash? Will we live life before death? Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, there's one date. And a time to die, there's the other date. And we get to decide what's in the middle. So what if today was that day for you? What if this today was your day to die? Because you never know, right? Our life is just a mist. It appears briefly and then it vanishes. And so what if today were your day? What if this was the end of your dash? If you died today, honestly, what would your obituary say? Because something's going to show up in the paper. What would it look like? What would it say? When it comes down to those who know you best, your friends, your family members, what would they say about you, the life you lived, your dash? What would they say would be most important to you? Or who would they say was most important to you? Are there things that you would like to be in your obituary, but you know that if it happened today, you hadn't quite made it there yet, and those things wouldn't be in your obituary yet? Well, what keeps you from those things now? Here's a challenge. Here's something you can do very practically this week. This is your homework. So sometime this week, I want to challenge you to spend some time writing your obituary. And you can write it the way you want it to read. It can be aspirational, what you aspire to. Write what you would like for people to say about you once you're gone. And then once you write your obituary, I want to invite you to share that with somebody, your spouse, family member, friend. Share it with somebody. Talk about what you want to be remembered for and how you really want to live your dash. And then think about what changes you might have to make for that to be true. So write your obituary, share it with somebody, and then ask yourself, am I ready to live? You probably thought when you turned to each other and said, are you ready? You probably thought I meant, are you ready to die? But I wonder, are you ready to live? And live life to its very fullest. Let's pray. Lord of life, we know that you are God of the living. And you bless us with this precious but fleeting gift of life. We pray, oh God, that you'd help us to live every single moment to the fullest so that when our days on earth are accomplished, we can find our rest in you for all eternity. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, who, even though he died, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.